Oh, my favorite people in the world. LifeGate Church, it's so great to be with you. Happy New Year, if I've not had a chance to tell you. And thank you for being online. Thank you for being at each of the campuses in Serbia and beyond. What a privilege we have obeying God and following Him and doing it together. I have a real keen sense that a lot of people are sick. I know my wife and I have just come through sickness and coming through. And the Lord impressed me. I want to read a scripture and then I want to pray that you would be healed, or your family member would be healed, or your child would be healed. And the Lord reminded me the word that was given at Presbytery, that there are those who are battling chronic illness that there seems to be no answer to. God is still breaking through. You know, when God gives a word, it's not just for that day. It has a lifespan, and He's still working you, even though you may feel utterly helpless in the situation. This is Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all of your sins and heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. If you are battling something in your body, if you have a family member who's not here, or you're there sick at home, if you're trusting God for that friend who has a chronic illness, would you just stand at every campus, even at home? It's just a statement of faith that I'm believing God. If you just stand, Lord, as each stands, we take your word and we believe it. We've seen it performed over and over. You are the God of Hal Perkins. You are the God of Trevor Larson. You are the God of Jim Abraham. And we could go on and on and on. Those who you have healed in the last year, and you're our God as well. And we speak to infirmity and we break off this assignment in our bodies in Jesus' name. Cease and desist, drain out, dry up, lift off in Jesus' name. And we ask for a great release of your healing virtue to every person, everyone we're standing for, every home in Jesus' name. We say to COVID, we say to flu, we say to sickness, we say to heart disease, we say to arthritis, it's time for you to stop in the name of Jesus. And we welcome the healing life of Jesus. We thank you, you purchased our healing, Lord, and now it's available to us. And Lord, I pray also perseverance in our hearts, that we would not grow weary as we wait. We thank you for your faithfulness and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you applaud the Lord there and believe him? I don't know if you know this, everybody. We are just utterly dependent on God. And in that utter dependency, we are comforted knowing he loves us so, so much. And he's shown himself again and again. You're not alone if you're battling sickness. Chris isn't here today because she's battling sickness. You're not alone. And we want you to know we're standing with you and praying all the time. I'm praying for you every day in this area of sickness. I want you to know. And so we love you so much. We bless you. It's such a privilege to do this life with you. If you haven't noticed, at each of your campuses in Novi Sad, in Belgrade, Papillion, each one of our campuses, there's a wall somewhere and it has our life code on it. That's an expression of our DNA, who we are deep inside. And if you remember last week, I think it was, that Pastor Jake here and at the other campuses, a variety of expressions, we thirst first for God. That's our first life code. It's above everything else. We don't thirst first for church services. We don't thirst first to serve well. We thirst first for God, to know him in relationship. And then our seventh life code is we are known, and I love this, we have a reputation for our outrageous generosity. That's generosity that people look like at and they go, that's just unreasonable. How can you be so generous? But because we see the grace of God in our lives and how flamboyant he is, lavish in giving us forgiveness and his life and his presence, we're a generous people. Not only are you faithful tithers, that means you're obedient people, you are outrageous in your generosity. two quick reports that are going to encourage your heart. The first is this. If you remember, we had a first love offering in December for those families in our fellowship who we are in contact with right now. You don't know who they are, but they're facing insurmountable financial crisis, and your dollars are going to them. The last report, I think it was 150, 155. That amount has increased to $189,000. Yes. Praise God. You ready for more good news? So lasting impact is over. And yet someone gave a couple of $100,000 and encouraged people to give in November. And you rose up and gave $170,000, which left a gap between what was pledged and what had been given of $216,000. And we, as your leader, said, Lord, we're just going to continue to trust you. It's completely up to you. The initiative is over, and you just speak to people. I love this story. So this week, a couple wakes up in our church. The wife says, hey, how much is left in the gap between 8.5 and what has been given? He said, I don't know. I'll find out. And so he contacted a person or two, and he found out. And she said, I think we're supposed to give more to that. You know where the thought to give more almost always comes from? Our amazing wives. It's really true. It's amazing. Not all the time, but very often. And so he started thinking about that day. And while he was thinking about it, he was talking with God. And he was like, Lord, do you want us to give 103,000? And then he had this thought, 130. How's 130? And how about 150? It sounds like an auction. Hey, 150. And then he was like, how about 180? And then he felt this settling of $200,000. There'd be no settling in me for $200,000. And then he talks to his wife, and he's got his checkbook, and he's heading here. And as they're talking, he says, I think it's 200. She's like, you're going to leave that $16,000 dangle out there. Is that what's going to happen right there? He's all right, it's $216,000. And he came here and he met with one of our pastors and he wrote a check for $216,000. $8.5 million has been taken care of. You know what we ask for every time we do something as a church? Give us a God story. One of the biggest God stories is everyone being faithful. That's a God story. And then you have these other outrageous stories, and God mixes them all together. And we can say this, we have children's places, we've made space for world changers because of the faithful generosity of God's people. And whether you have children or not, you influenced four of my grandchildren today in clean, bright, compelling hallways and rooms and bathrooms with compelling people loving them. And I want to thank you. And this continues. So someone asked this question, so there's no more need, right? Well, to be very upfront, we pledged 8.5. We probably spent a lot more than that. And we're just trusting God for that. There's no pressure on you, but if you wake up tomorrow morning and ask your husband a question, I mean, it would be fine with us. And I still give permission to anyone to interrupt me anytime at any part of the message if you have a check for $15,000 that will not bounce, okay? So I encourage you in that. Thanks for listening to Good News. Thank you for praying and believing that God is healing us. All this as we step today into a fast, whether it's after lunch or after dinner, wherever you feel led, you step into this fast, you get your thirst journal or devotional. This is so, you know, you want to get to know your associate senior pastor, Micah. He wrote this, and as you read it, you're going to say, oh, what a rich, rich, rich devotional. And it's going to guide you daily starting today. So read today's today. And it's going to encourage you so much in connecting with God on a level that I believe that many of us have never connected with him before. And I love that. How many of you have never fasted before? May I see your hands? You know what I love? That I have to search because most of us have fasted. A lot of what you need to know is in the thirst devotional. At the back, it's talking about the kinds of fast, etc. A fast is not doing something for something else instead. So it's not eating certain foods. It's not drinking enjoyable drinks, etc. So that we're saying to God, Lord, I'm going to forsake my necessary food to embrace my necessary God. I don't know about you all, when I was deeply in love, and I still am, when I first met Chris, though, I didn't mind missing a meal ever. I didn't mind. I just wanted to be with her all the time. And fasting is our commitment to God. I want to return to that first love I felt when I first met you. And so I'm going to put these things aside. Food, believe it or not, it kind of shellacks our souls, everybody. It removes a sensitivity that we have to God. And so what you'll discover, if you give up eating meat, for example, or if you eat just vegetables, within a day, your spirit and soul, the brightness of it, you'll start to feel it. All kinds of things will happen in your body. I tell people this, you will not get hungry as you fast anything if you drink water all the time. Drink more water than you think you really should, and that will keep your stomach full. You will still have an appetite, that old romance inside of you. And what I've discovered is I would have dreams where I'm talking to a cheeseburger, you know, for real. I'm talking to a cheeseburger and I would get guilty because I would fast everything but water, and I would pass a restaurant and I'd smell it and I'd go. And I was like, the Holy Spirit was almost convicting me of eating with my nose, which is, I mean, it's a fun adventure. Every time I go into the fast, I'm a little bit hesitant. And every time I fast, I don't want to stop. If you blow the fast, start right up again. Don't let that unravel everything. And so I want to encourage you. You might get colder during the fast. And I encourage people, it's only 7 days. If you fasted chocolate before, I encourage you to fast some more food. If you fasted and done just the Daniel fast, we're challenging you because it's only 7 days to do a juice fast. If you've done a juice fast, then drink tea with a little honey for those days. Let the Lord challenge you in your faith, because I believe this, when we fast and we ask God for something, which is on your fasting card that you have, or you can get on the way out, when you trust him for something, we sow into the heart of God at a different level. Jesus said this kind of stuff only comes out through prayer and fasting. What he's really saying is certain things demand that we have focused faith. And so I encourage you, when you fill that card out, take a picture of it so you know what you committed. Why do you hand it in? So that we can be praying for you on a daily basis and asking God to do what only he can do. If you're addicted to something, if you have someone who needs to be saved, one of my friends who was in the last service, he just was standing in the driveway of a neighbor and saying, yeah, at my church. And she said, I don't want to hear anything about your church or anything about your God. And so he fasted and he prayed for her. And a month after the fast, because very, very often God doesn't answer my prayers during the fast. You're sowing. He's in the same driveway and he's just talking. And she said, hey, You mentioned your church a while back. Could you tell me more about it? That led to her being redeemed. She ran the Assure Women's Center for years here in Omaha, Nebraska, rescuing babies. Because he fasted and he asked for her before God. God can do anything. One woman was totally addicted to an 8-pack of 20-ounce Diet Cokes every day. She had such a Coke addiction, Diet Coke, that she said, if I wasn't near a bottle of Coke, of Diet Coke, I had an anxiety attack. I slept with it. It was in my purse. It was in my car. I had to have one right at hand. It's like a breathing apparatus. And she went to the Lord, said, what do you want me to lay down as I fast? And he said, will you trust me with your Diet Coke? She said the first couple days seemed impossible, and she broke through, and she was no longer addicted to Diet Coke. Whatever it is, if it's social media, if it's alcohol, if it's Diet Coke, if it's salt, whatever you're addicted to. Then here's my last proviso. If you are a pregnant mom, if you are a nursing mom, if you have a heart condition, diabetic, if you have a chronic illness, please check with your doctor before you do any kind of fast that involves a large portion of your food being removed. I think I can say to all of you, heart patient or not, you can fast chocolate. You can fast chocolate, okay? And it will be helpful. Get ready for the wonderful adventure. I think it was worth the time just to talk about this with you all. Because when you all fast, it's like God is like, they are trusting me. I'm going to pour myself out. And when we get to Saturday next week and Banning Leapshire gets up here and preaches, the house is going to split open. It's going to be awesome. And then we're going to eat pasta till we're sick. It's going to be beautiful. Yes. There's your vision for the week. Pasta. Okay, I want to talk about prayer. I want to do a word association with you. This calls for your involvement, if you would please. So when I say a particular word, if I say up, whatever word comes to your mind, you might say there, or you might say down, whatever, just whatever comes to your mind, and I want you to say it out loud. If you don't, I'll notice who's not talking. I'll make you stand up and make you yell. Okay, are you ready, everybody? Summer. Okay, someone said winter, someone said warm. And next, football. Chiefs are winning in every service. That may be prophetic. I don't know. Okay, every service. Every campus now, I hear you. Ice cream. Oh, yeah. Chocolate's a winner and delicious. Snow. You know, it's interesting with snow in every service, the comments, they decline in their tone. Whatever you say, it goes, Okay. Dogs. Why would you mix the two? People said cats here. Okay, here's the next one. Hug. Good, you guys are doing well. I want to hear the back row, please. Next one, cats. Oh. Cat people, you have a lot of work to do. The next, fasting. Do you know what you sounded like? Fasting. Yay. Seriously, that was the tone. Yay. Snakes. Yuck. Thank you for the yuck. Tiny. Small. Pizza. Prayer meeting. This is incredible. You are Christians. Every service has been, I did this with my family. One of the answers was boring. Now, I won't tell you her identity. One of the answers was long. I'm going to just say up front, when you come to any gathering of prayer we have, first, it's not going to be boring, and second, it won't be too long. So as you look at this week, we said, you know, come at 7. It doesn't go till 10, all right? It's like 45 minutes. But you know what? The prayer meeting, gathering, time with God can go as long as you want it. You can come for 5 minutes. Just being in the presence of God, you're going to see as I progress here, really will help change your perception. Our goal in this series, teach us to pray, is that your perception about prayer and your experiences with regard to prayer would significantly shift in every one of your lives to the point where you, when asked about prayer, rather than saying mysterious, confusing, difficult, boring, you would find yourself saying this: prayer, simple, fulfilling, refreshing, healing, doable, fun, daily, vital, wanted, needed, enlivening. All of you can pray. You're better at it than you think you are, and there's no better, by the way. If you turn to the person you're with, even if you don't know them, and ask them this simple question, it's a deep question. How's your week been? Okay, when you ask them, the person who's asking, you both will ask at first, but one of you answer, and in the next few minutes of precious preaching time, I want you to answer. Would you do that right now? Face the person next to you at home or here or any campus. How was your week? How's your week been? And just answer them. Okay, enough. Now, here's the thing, everybody. You just did the three most basic aspects of prayer. You communicated, you listened, and you were with. Prayer is communicating and listening, and you're going to learn to hear God and being with. And our goal today, the request that Jesus loves always answering, is the request, teach me how to pray. And we're going to give such a simple example of prayer today that during this week, we're trusting God to help you take 5 minutes each day, not to talk the whole time, but to be with God, to listen, and to communicate, and to see what He alone is going to do. If you can talk, if you can listen, you can pray. Holy Spirit, speak to us now. We're going to read this scripture in Luke chapter 11, first one verse, then jumping over to Matthew chapter 6. And both of these passages are where Jesus teaches His disciples how to pray. Now, you're familiar with this, but in these next 5 weeks, we're going to unpack the portions of the Lord's Prayer, which if you understand them, you'll see every prayer that we ever pray relates to some aspect of the Lord's Prayer. So listen to the living word of God. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when He finished, one of His disciples said to Him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." Matthew chapter 6. "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, today, our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." The request God loves to answer is when you ask Him, "Lord, teach me how to pray." Are you open to saying that right now as part of all of us praying to God at every campus and at home? Are you willing to say with me, "Lord, teach me how to pray"? If you are, would you say it right now? "Lord, teach me how to pray." Let's ask one more time. "Lord, teach me how to pray." Oh, the Lord loves hearing that. You know what I hear in my spirit? He says this, "I will. I've heard your request." We're going to be real simple today because the best way to see prayer is real, real simple. I want to answer, what is prayer? What exactly is it? And why did the disciples ask Him this? And then how do you do it? That's what we're going to cover in the next few minutes. The first answer may surprise you. Prayer is at its very heart vital to being a human being. If we could journey around the world right now, I think only Santa can do this, but if we could, and look at each nation of the world, every city of the world, almost every single neighborhood, you know what you would find? People are praying right now all around the world. Now, don't hear this as this. Christians are praying. Listen, everybody. You and I pray a long time before we become followers of Jesus. Do you know why? It's the essence of being made in the image of God, a longing to talk to the one who's in charge of everything. It's just inside of it. It's vital to being a human. Animals don't pray. You can fold a dog's arms, but he's not gonna pray. Cats don't pray also, okay? Dogs and cats don't pray. If we could go to Greece right now, to Mount Athos, which is 6,000 feet above the Aegean Sea, you would find big bearded Greek Orthodox monks praying as they have daily for the last 1,800 years. If we could zoom to Nigeria, Africa, you would find there is a group there 11 miles from the city of Lagos of 1 million Nigerian Christians pleading for God to change their nation and our world. On the banks of the Ganges River right now, if you were to travel to India, you would find devout Hindus bathing in that river, asking asking for mercy and for change. In nearly every neighborhood or city or town in our nation today, numerous times there will be a group of men or women in a circle at an AA meeting, and they will pray together the Serenity Prayer. Even if they don't know who the higher power is, the recognition that the only way to have freedom from addiction is by the help of someone beyond ourselves. High in the Himalaya mountains, you could go there now and see bells chiming in the wind and strings of colored cloth flapping in the wind as prayers to gods beyond. 1 in 4 people pray the Lord's Prayer every single Easter. 1 in 6 people around the world bow to Mecca at some time during this day. While we're here, it's happening in the world. If I could take you to the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, where I watched with my own eyes Hasidic Jews with their big black hats on and their locks flowing down and their big beards with their prayer booklets back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, praying for mercy, for the peace of Jerusalem, for the coming of Messiah, and then taking little pieces of paper and rolling what would look like little cigarettes and sticking them in the cracks so that the wall is filled with papers of prayers ascending to God. There's prayer in this city in maternity wards right now. There's prayer under underpasses in the form of graffiti. There's prayer in hospice rooms today, I guarantee you. At football games, there's always prayer. It's conflict prayer on both sides. Every battlefield has prayer in it. Prayer is global. Prayer is ongoing. Prayer is the pulsating human phenomena that's going on everywhere. Our world is filled with prayer. Now, some may be saying, yeah, but it's declining now because we're becoming modern and this is archaic. That's not true at all. If you were to study the statistics and the studies that are, prayer is on the increase, not decrease. I'm not saying Christianity is necessarily, but prayer is. And there's that sense of something beyond us that we have to connect with. I love how David Benner puts this, who's been an inspiration in many of the things we said about love and the love of God. He says, the soul's native language is prayer. Our natural posture in attentive openness to the divine is prayer. Years ago, I heard of a Buddhist monk. Buddhism doesn't focus on a God. It focuses on the teachings that lead us to empty ourselves, to enter into nothingness. Okay? This Buddhist was on the seashore at sunrise, not a God follower or believer, and the sun crested the ocean, and as he looked at it, involuntarily, he said, "Oh, God." And when he did, he stopped, and he asked, "What was that?" Which became the first step to him becoming a follower of Jesus. He couldn't help himself. God was behind this. We know this, that prayer is the posture of great men and women throughout history. Nebuchadnezzar prayed, if you remember, after he was convinced that Daniel's God was God. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't a believer, but he was of sorts because he prayed. We have the record of Abraham Lincoln's admission. I've been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom seemed insufficient for the day. Oh, the prayer we should pray for our president. Lord, would you move him to the place where he finds himself alone saying, I can't do this. God, help me. Lord, we pray for our president right now, for our vice president, that you move them to a place beyond the council, beyond the messaging, beyond the surveys. Would you move them to a place of desperation where the focus is you? And then would you enter the room and guide them in ways that only you can? Militant atheist Kathy at the University of Wichita, one late night in her apartment, gazed down at her sleeping baby. Is there anything as precious, everybody? She was overwhelmed with the desire to give thanks to someone or something for this gift of all gifts that she had. But without a husband or a boyfriend in her life and no one to share with this wonder, she whispered a few self-conscious words of gratitude out into the silence. As she did so, the atmosphere seemed to change. Wave upon wave of love, unlike she had ever experienced, came flooding into the room. And kneeling there that night beside her sleeping baby, she relinquished her ardent atheism because God was there. And since then, she has worshiped Jesus for the last 30 years. A simple prayer breathed by an atheist to someone who didn't exist, and God was there. Dallas Willard puts prayer so beautifully. We are simply children walking and talking with our Father. That's why Jesus says, here's how you ought to pray. Our Father. And God's in the process with every one of us of changing a wrong view of Father. This Father is full of love, faithful, slow to ever becoming angry. And we're to pray to our Father about, what do we talk about? What we're doing together. It's so simple, so beautiful. Why did they ask Jesus to teach them how to pray? Because that's all he did. You know, he went about doing good and casting out devils, but he was praying all the time. He prayed for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness before he began his public ministry. He prayed consistently about everything. He prayed all night before he chose the 12 disciples. He withdrew out in a boat private to a solitary place to pray after he received the horrible news that his cousin, John the Baptizer, had his head cut off. After feeding 5,000 people, he didn't go hang out in the local bar. Instead, he climbed a mountain and he spent time alone with his Father. After weeping at Lazarus's tomb, he wiped his eyes dry, we would guess, raised his hands and he prayed, and then he rose Lazarus from the grave. In the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was so totally and utterly alone as his disciples slept, he pled and he prayed and he sweat drops of blood in agony. On the cross, you know what he did? He prayed. He prayed to one who seemed to have forsaken him, but he still prayed. And then when he rose from the grave, he prayed for his disciples. And before he left this earth, he prayed for you and for me. In John 17, he said, I pray for those who will come because they've believed this report. Jesus prayed all the time. But it's not just that he prayed. When he prayed, things happened. Stuff happened when Jesus prayed. And what our hope is that as you discover the simplicity of prayer, as you start trusting God even more so, as you start engaging him, as you start making him a priority, starting with 5 minutes every single day, as you start doing that, you know what you'll discover? Stuff will happen. Stuff will shock you. The most unusual stuff will happen as you start to pray. And I know this from experience as I pray for you every day and I see stuff happening in you all every day because I'm praying for you every single day. He walked with God, he talked with God, he listened to God. They saw when he prayed, the atmosphere changed, the space got thin. In your worship time today, did you sense at each campus, heaven's very close here? See, when Jesus prayed, the barrier between heaven and earth became porous. And God's design is that you'd experience that in your quiet time, in your little chair or on your Peloton or wherever you have your space. You'd consistently experience this as the center point of your life because it is the center point of Jesus' life and Jesus lives inside of you to live in you and through you. Okay, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna give you three big ideas that are gonna help you apply is how in the world do I pray? Well, tell me how to start. And then I'm gonna give you a little template that you're gonna use this week and it's gonna help you start the process. Here are the three big ideas. When you pray, keep it simple. Two, keep it real. And three, keep it up. If you just remember that, keep it simple, keep it real, and keep it up. Keep it simple. Okay, I'm gonna answer some big theological questions for you, okay, about keeping it simple. Is it okay to talk to God in the shower? Yes, okay? Just remember this, in the garden, they're all naked. You ain't surprising God if you're naked, okay? Okay, so yes, but here's the crazy thing. Some people feel, if I don't close my eyes, if I don't bow my head, did you know that in Scripture, you don't see the closing of the eyes, it's looking up that you see in Scripture. And so we have these ideas about, okay, is it okay to close my eyes? It's okay if you want to close your eyes, not when you're driving, but it's okay to close your eyes. Is it okay to pray while I drive? You better pray while you drive. I pray every time I drive, I guarantee you, for real. And God has saved me over and over and over again. Is it okay to pray in the morning before I've showered? Okay, it is okay to pray in the morning before you showered. Is it okay to pray if I haven't brushed my teeth? Yes, it is okay. Is it okay to pray if you don't know what to say? It is. Is it okay to groan instead of pray? Yes. The Bible actually tells us we don't know what we ought to pray really, but the Holy Spirit is here inside of us and he's groaning for us in every area of prayer. Is it okay to pray on the pot? I'm hearing yes, yes, yes here. Let me give you an example. How many of you are married and have ever talked to your spouse through the door while one of you is on the pod? Can I see your hands? You know what you don't do? Don't talk to me while I'm in here. You know why? Because life is walking, talking, on the pod, off the pod, in the shower, all those things. And I want to tell you, God says pray all the time. They're not zones. I can't pray while I'm doing that. I can't pray while I'm doing that. When you're intimate with your spouse, is it permissible to pray? I highly recommend it. One of the best prayers when you're being intimate with your spouse is whoopee. And that's, I mean, it's an awesome prayer. Add God, whoopee God. And you think I'm kidding, but I am not kidding you. You see this, keep it simple. Here's the thing you need to know about God. God is not impressed with how well we pray, but with how willing we are to try. Don't believe me? Let's shift to keep it real. Here's how God's not impressed by how well you pray. When you pray, Jesus said, don't babble on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like that, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Then why do you pray if he knows what you need? Because it's a relationship. He wants to talk to you. He wants to be your God. So keep it real. God can handle all your doubts. He can handle them. He can handle all your anger, all your fears. He can handle you ignoring him. He's given you words in the Psalms. We've talked about this before. They're called laments, where they are complaints against God and saying, God, how long, how long, how long, God, how long? You said you would, but you haven't. I can't believe this. They're mocking me. When are you going to break through, God? You say, well, that's disrespectful. Let me tell you what that is. That's honest prayer. Even if you say, I don't even believe in you anymore. I don't believe in you anymore. You're not even there. You're dead to me, God. Do you know what you're doing while you do that? You're talking to God. Okay, I didn't want you to miss that. You're talking to him. And one of the most powerful prayers is this. I don't know if I can ever trust you again. But the beauty is you haven't stopped talking to him. We've been there. God, are you even real? Are you ever going to do anything? And he did. He did. And he will. Some of you are so hopeless right now. It's just like, do not give up. That's the next, keep it up, keep it up, keep it up. Do not give up. Jesus said this. He taught his disciples, I want to show you an example. He said how you should always pray and not lose heart. You know why? Because we lose heart because our desire is current and we want it now. We want the agony to stop now. We want the child's terrible ear infection to stop right now. We want the cancer to end right now. And we really want it to end and we want God to want it to end right now. But God's timing is perfect and it's beyond us and we don't understand it and he's mysterious. And so when we ask him, we have to give the timetable up to him, but don't stop. He wants you to bug him. He wants you to bug him. The Lord has said this to us. It's said in the Old Testament, wear yourself out in prayer, asking and asking and reminding him and tapping him and pulling on his clothing and say, Jesus, I'm trusting you. Jesus, I'm trusting you. One day his disciples asked, he said, you need to pray and not give up. Pete Grieg, who wrote the book, How to Pray for Normal People. I love that. he started with others the 24/7 global prayer movement. And he said, most often when I go to a prayer meeting, I don't want to go, and it's a fight. You know why? The devil does not want you to sit down in your chair every day. He doesn't want you to do that. Do you know why? You're going to connect with God in those 5 minutes. The devil does not want you, even though you're not eating, to come to one of these gatherings at one of the campuses, because you're going to be changed. You're going to be lifted up. And he does not want that, so he'll fight real hard. So Pete Grieg, who runs 24/7, says, most all prayer meetings I don't want to go to. And then he says this, 99% of connecting with God is just showing up. You sit down in your chair, you don't know what to do, and you know what? Here's what you tell God. I don't know what to do, God. And you just sit there. And breathe in the gift of life. Just sit there. I love what Pete says, making an effort to be consciously present to a God who is constantly present to us. That's our goal. Keep it simple, please. Keep it real. Keep it up. Pastor Micah beautifully taught us these 5 simple things you can do. For 5 minutes a day, this thirst devotional, you can finish in 5 minutes easily. Now notice I'm putting that in negative terms. You can get done with this. But in 5 minutes, this can open up a whole new dimension to you, which may be 7 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour of sweetness. He says this, find a space. Just find that space where you can be alone, where it's quiet, where the kids aren't, which often means for those raising kids, you gotta get up a little earlier or stay up a little later. Next, find a time, and consistency is important. That rhythm, Jesus, he had that time. He liked it late at night, didn't he? And early in the morning. Find a song, and you know, we sang today, you can use this all week. God is so good, God is so good, God is so good. You can sing that every day. And then turn it to God, you're so good. Every day, just sing to him. And then a scripture, and then a prayer. Well, you're like, you lost me with the scripture, you lost me with the prayer. I can remember God is so good. I think I can find a time and a space. Every one of these devotionals starts with a scripture. I often read it out loud. It goes into an inspiring thought, and then it provides you the prayer, which I also pray out loud. And what this is, it is a springboard that you'll find, well, I'm not quite done yet. Lord, I have that meeting today, and I'm not very confident. Could you help me in that meeting? And you know what you might hear in your spirit? Seriously, if you just pause a little bit and don't just rush on, would you please help me? God may just whisper, and you'll think it's your voice, but you may hear this. I'll be right there with you. I'll be right there with you. He does this all the time for those who would listen and stop second guessing what they hear in their mind and just saying they're making it up. You started by saying, would you be with me? I'm scared. And then you hear, I'll be right there with you. You surely weren't saying, I'll be right there with me, because you're still scared. But God says, I'll be right there with you. Prayer is anything but boring. It's your natural language made alive through the Lord Jesus Christ. Could you say it again with me? Lord, teach me to pray. Would you say it again? Lord, teach me to pray. Let's do it one more time. Lord, teach me to pray. Lord, you've heard your people. You've heard some who are on their way to knowing you. They don't know you personally yet, but they've said it. Lord, teach me to pray. Would you use this simple tool? Would you use a simple fast? Would you convince us we don't have to get it right? But would you give us the grace of 5 minutes a day? A space, a place, a song, a scripture, a prayer. You know a prayer that you could pray every single day, everyone? This prayer, if you took a picture of it, is so helpful. Jesus, Remind me of your love for me. Fill me with your spirit and have your way with my day. Take a picture of that if you want. That prayer is good for every day when you don't know what to pray. Now, Lord, release this grace in us of fasting in Jesus' name. Every campus, every person. Release this grace, Lord Jesus, of prayer that is simple and real and they keep up. Release this life in us that you've promised, Lord. And we'll thank you and praise you and love you all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we applaud the Lord, everyone? He's so great.